Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 8. This chapter consists of the end of the temple sermon and some other prophecies that Jeremiah gave probably during the early part of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah. Let's begin by reading the first three verses of this chapter. Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. At that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of its princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven, which they have loved, and which they have served, and after which they have walked, which they have sought, and which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. Then death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 8, with some background notes. In Jeremiah chapter 7, we had the well-known temple sermon of Jeremiah, and I think you can see in most of your Bibles that this sermon continues through the first three verses of chapter 8. Remember, there were no chapter and verse divisions in the book of Jeremiah when it was originally written. In these first three verses, the word of the Lord through Jeremiah was that when the Babylonians invaded Judah, they would desecrate the graves of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, including the kings and princes and priests and prophets. To dig up the graves of your enemy and expose the bones of the dead was the ultimate insult and mark of extreme contempt for the people that were conquered. Notice the irony in verse 2, when the Lord says that the bones from the desecrated graves would be spread out before the sun and moon and stars, the very astral bodies that these dead people had worshipped as part of their idolatry. A lot of help these false gods proved to be. And how true it is today. So often the false gods that people worship in this life come back to mock them in death, whether it be the gods of pleasure, power, or material things. In verse 3, we see that conditions would be so bad after the fall of Judah to the Babylonians that the people would rather die than live. They would choose death over life. It did not have to be, but Judah deliberately chose to turn away from the Lord and deliberately refused to receive the help that God offered. So now in the rest of the chapter, and continuing right on through chapter 10, we have a number of other prophecies that Jeremiah gave, probably around the same time as the temple sermon, that is during the early months of the reign of Jehoiakim in 609 BC. That brings us now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 8. Doctrinal point number one. Judgment follows a refusal to turn back. Judgment follows a refusal to turn back. Verses 4 through 12. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest. Everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of my daughter of my people slightly or superficially, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. In these verses, Judah is denounced for her refusal to turn back to the Lord. Look again at verse 5. Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. The Lord said that their refusal to turn back was unnatural. If you slip and fall, is it not natural to get back up again? Verse 4. But Judah stubbornly refused to repent. They were like a horse rushing headlong into battle. Verse 6. Even migratory birds instinctively know their time of return, but not Judah. Verse 7. The people claim to be wise and even know the word of the Lord. Verse 8. But God said that they could not be wise because they had rejected the word of the Lord. Verse 9. Therefore, judgment would follow, and they would lose their fields and their families. Verse 10. And yet the false prophets continued to preach peace, peace, but there was no peace. Verse 11. Judah was so backslidden that the leaders and people were not even ashamed of their ungodly and immoral ways. As we mentioned back in chapter 6, how descriptive this is of our own nation today. We don't blush now at sins that were once not even mentioned in public. How far this nation has deliberately turned away from God and His Word. Judgment follows a refusal to return. Doctrinal point number 2. Judgment follows a refusal to produce fruit. Judgment follows a refusal to produce fruit. Verses 13 through 17. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we still sit? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. The Lord had expected his people to produce the spiritual fruit of righteousness, but he found no fruit. Verse 13. Therefore, they would be taken away from the land and unable to produce fruit. They had reached the point of no return. It was time now to run to the fortified cities in hopes of protection. Verse 14. They would have to drink the judgment of God like poisoned water. Verse 14. They had foolishly believed the false prophet's message of peace. Verse 15. Already the sounds of the advancing Babylonian army could be heard from the city of Dan in the far north. Verse 16. Nebuchadnezzar and his forces would be like biting snakes that could not be charmed. Verse 17. Judgment follows a refusal to produce fruit. As God's people today, are we producing spiritual fruit? Read John chapter 15 in this connection. In this important chapter, we read that if we are in the vine of Christ, but not producing much fruit, then the Lord must prune us so that we'll produce more fruit. That is, the Lord must discipline us and judge us as His people. The pruning process is not very pleasant, especially if we, like Israel in Jeremiah chapter 8, refuse to bear fruit. Judgment follows a refusal to produce fruit. And doctrinal point number 3, judgment follows a refusal to accept healing. Judgment follows a refusal to accept healing. Verses 18 through 22. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have you provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people?" These are probably the saddest verses of the chapter. Jeremiah is speaking for the nation as they realize their chance for healing and restoration is gone, and they have been taken away as captives. They've been taken from Zion, that is Jerusalem, to a distant land because of their sin, verses 18 and 19. Jeremiah was distraught and broken up over the fact that Judah lost her many chances to return to the Lord, but she had refused. Now the summer and time for harvest was over, and Judah could not be saved from judgment. Verses 20 and 21. How sad. It was like a sick person refusing to make use of the healing balm of Gilead. This balm was a medicinal resin obtained from trees that grew in the land of Gilead. The point is that Gilead was only a short distance away across the Jordan River. Why would a sick person refuse medical help when it was so near? And yet that's essentially what Judah was doing as she refused to turn back to the Lord. Therefore, judgment must follow this refusal to accept healing. Today, God offers healing from the sickness of sin. Christ the Savior is the true balm of Gilead. But people refuse to accept healing. They turn away from the Son of God. Therefore, judgment must follow. I'm reading John chapter 3, verse 36. This is the Lord speaking. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." John chapter 3, verse 36. Judgment follows a refusal to accept healing. Now, what about practical application from Jeremiah chapter 8? Get saved before the harvest. Get saved before the harvest. Verse 20, once again. "The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved." This is what the people of Judah said when they realized that it was too late to be saved from the coming judgment. "The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved." You know, this is what unbelievers will say in the future when they realize it is too late for salvation from the consequences of sin and the judgment of God. I'm reading Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12. "His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Matthew 3:12. This statement by John the Baptist refers to our Lord's second coming. Let me ask you, what category are you in, wheat or chaff? The day of God's grace will not last forever, and life is short. How tragic to have to say in the end, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Get saved before the harvest.